Well, welcome to you all this morning hour on this special Sabbath day, especially our guests that are here in connection with the baptism of little Audrey. The real purpose for coming to church is not that we meet each other. It's also not that we witness baptism. It is that we hear the testimony of God. And Psalm 93 says, "Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." And so maybe meet God this morning and hear what he has to say to us through word and sacrament. Let's stand to pray and receive God's blessing. Our help, Lord God, is in thy name, in thee who has made the heavens and the earth, in thee who keepeth truth forever, never forsaking the works of thy hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our opening psalter is 170, and celebration of divine grace. Praise waits for thee in Zion, all men shall worship there. Psalter 170, we'll sing all three verses.
Praise
Our first scripture reading this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 5, where we read the holy law of the Lord as the rules or as the commandments dealing with the relationship and how we are to honor God, and not only as creatures, but we have a double obligation as His covenant people. So therefore, let me read also the first five verses of Deuteronomy 5 that introduces this. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you, face to face, in the mount, out of the midst of the fire. I, Moses, stood between the Lord and you at that time, to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire, and went not up into the mount, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God commandeth thee. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. I remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and they may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou desire covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. So let's sing now Psalter 322, the third and the fourth verse.
Thank you.
Let us now turn to the prophecy of Isaiah, and we'll read from the 43rd chapter, the first 13 verses. So Isaiah 43, we'll read him from verse 1 through 13. But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west, and I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. And let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was I am, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Or read so far from this prophet and his message to the people of Israel of old and to us today. So in prayer, let us remember my son and my daughter-in-law who this week lost their 21-year-old baby. That is considered a stillbirth in New Zealand, so the burial will be on Tuesday this week. Tiny little boy, they named him Asher. And he was not given the privilege to live on earth with them and with us. And there are more in our midst today who have gone through that pain and sorrow. And now it also touches our children. Let's seek together the Lord in prayer. Faithful Lord God of heaven and of earth, wilt thou graciously unite our hearts together in this sacred moment of our worship service. Lord, we have undertaken it to speak to thee and to ask thee to pay attention to us and to the words of our mouth and the thoughts of our heart. And what a privilege, Lord, that we may speak to thee directly, though through the Savior and Mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we beseech thee that in his name Thou wilt hear our prayer and receive our thanksgiving this morning hour. Thanksgiving is always fitting. For though none of us are without trials and without setbacks and burdens and tears, none of us have received what we deserve from thy hand. Thou hast been merciful and faithful. Thou hast provided us, Lord, another day to see the light of the day, and more yet, to see the light of the world in the preaching of Jesus Christ, in the message of grace that also this morning comes to us, Lord, from this scripture, and in the visual reminder of the token of baptism. And O gracious God, we need to be reminded that Thou hast never dealt with us according to what we deserve. And we pray that Thou would somehow remind us of that daily, so that there will be praise on our lips all day and every day, and humility in our hearts, and no complaints found in our homes or on our tongue. And great God, let all those whose hearts are sad and pained and strained with circumstances in personal life or family life or church or business and farming, whatever, Lord, let all such know that Thou art at hand and that nothing comes by chance. Thou writes the script of every day and of every life, no matter how short or long. And Lord, none can comfort like Thou can. And we pray therefore that Thou wilt so graciously comfort the saddened and the burdened, and turn all losses into gain, and the thorns and thistles into flowers, in which we may see much good after all. And blessed Lord, as we gather here this morning, then we thank Thee Thou spared us. So many of us have traveled this past week to visit with family and friends. And none of us did meet with a destructive accident. And we pray, Lord, that we may observe these things. The nation elsewhere was frightened with earthquakes. And we were blessed with peace and beauty and stability. Many nations are at war. We have liberty and peace to worship also here together in this church building. Lord, we thank Thee. And please will Thou remind us of this, that we should not take these things for granted. We also gather here, Lord, to hear Thy testimony, to hear the Word of God again preached to us. Will Thou please open our hearts for Thee. Open our hearts for the shocking picture that is painted in the Scriptures about Israel. Their repeated betrayal, their ungratefulness, their unbelief, they're going after other lovers. Lord, this is our picture too. And please help us to see spiritually that there is no difference between them and us. And let that penetrate. Let that convict our hearts. Let that humble our spirit. But also, Lord, will Thou show us how Thou again and again shows the riches of Thy goodness and forbearance and faithfulness and forgiveness and love, Thy covenant abiding goodness. O God, may that also this morning be evident to us, and let it lead us to repentance and faith. Move our hearts, touch us innerly, inwardly. Let these words just not go over us, but let them settle in us, Lord. Let it take hold of us, that it may bring forth abundant fruit to Thee and to Thy glory. So open our ears and help us to understand this morning that this Old Testament scripture speaks to us as New Testament church as much as it did to the Jews then. And help us to see, Lord, that this is one revelation in an extended way to the New Testament age, that Thou deals with us exactly on the same level, and therefore that Thou art jealous of Thy covenant people today as Thou was then. And so, blessed Lord, open our hearts. Lead us away from ways of sin or paths of ignorance, of thoughts of deceit. Convert us and lead us in the way that leads to Jesus Christ, to learn to know Him and to trust Him, to need Him, and to so also, gracious God, give ourselves to Thee time and again as a needy and unworthy sinner. And refresh and renew and deepen the truth of Thy covenant again this morning, Lord, as it also will be visualized in the sign and seal of holy baptism. We pray that Thou would strengthen the faith of all the born-again souls in our midst through Thy testimony in baptism. That Thou would never forsake the work Thou hast begun in the spiritual regeneration. And Lord, convict all of us that forms and ceremonies are not enough, and that we need a spiritual matter that is pictured in this ceremony of baptism. Speak to the hearts of those that are distressed and doubtful and fearful, that Thou hast also personally committed Thyself to them in baptism, to be their Lord God forever, to be their Savior. As we read in this chapter, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. And O God, remove then whatever fears fill our heart when we feel convicted of our sin, that we stay not away from Thee, but return to Thee to be healed and to be washed, to be cleansed and to be renewed. We thank Thee for the precious gift of life Thou hast given to Ben and Elaine. And Lord, what a beautiful child, and yet also what a needy child. It may look less needy than Isaac was, but spiritually as needy for Thy grace. And so bless them together, Lord, with this joy. Be with all those who carry unborn children among us. Protect that young life, Lord, and nourish it and bring it to a health and full term. And in that sense, we also pray for our children and the grandchild that Thou removed out of their life in this past week. Comfort, Lord, these parents as they go on their young journey through such a loss. And let all such who have experienced likewise loss of unborn children be comforted with Thy grace and Thy mercy. It also extends in Thy sovereignty to those unborn children. Lord, we pray for Thy blessing on all the ministry of the Word today, here and elsewhere, mission and evangelism work. Strengthen and uphold every one of those whom Thou hast called to labor in the ministry of preaching and prayer. teaching, or witnessing. And especially pray for our mission team in Bolivia, Lord. Also bless those who are still struggling with the language and to bring a message in Spanish. Although please help them and open their mouth and help them to recall what they have learned and so minister effectively the Word of God there. So look upon us, O gracious Lord, and take away all what hinders in both listening and speaking in body and heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. During the singing of Psalter 238, all three verses, there is an opportunity to participate in the worship of giving. And that's also in the last song of the service today. The first one is for the general fund, and the second is dedicated to the building fund. So let us sing 238, 1, 2, and 3. What is special about May 16? That probably means nothing to most of you. But it means a lot to the child that is going to be baptized this morning. For that is her birthday. What's special about July 7? Oh, that's today. And that's the day that Audrey will be baptized. Both days included something similar. On May 16, Ben and Elaine named the child Audrey Lucille. Birth certificate form was signed and filled in. And for the rest of her existence, this little child will be Audrey. That has a lifelong impact. the name that they've given to her. Children, there was a time in your day that your mom and dad did that to you and to me. A lifelong impact. Your name always will be your name. Audrey, yeah, that's me, she will say. Identifies her. Sets her apart. That's her. She knows she belongs to parents Ben and Elaine. Audrey Stelzel. That sets her apart lifelong. That name also is a special privilege because she belongs to these two parents, and these two parents are committed to take care of Audrey. I think Ben and Elaine want to give all their love and all their resources and all their care night and day to this child that they've named with special love Audrey Lucille. And as Audrey grows up, she realizes that being Audrey Lucille Stelzel has several obligations. She has to honor the name that she's been given and to whom she belongs. There's a certain lifestyle connected to her. Because of that, she will be faithful to her parents and siblings, and she will live in a way that will bring joy and beauty to the name. Because she doesn't want to bring a dishonor on the name of her family. But it's something that didn't happen to her on the day that Ben and Elaine named her Audrey Lucille. It didn't change her inwardly. It didn't change her heart. She's named but not changed. This little child doesn't necessarily mean, isn't necessarily what her name means. I don't know if Ben and Elaine knows what the name means, but Audrey means noble strength. That's an Anglo-Saxon name. And Lucille, it's a French Latin name, means light. It's beautiful names. And having given her that name, does that mean that Audrey now only will be noble strength and will be a source of light? No, that doesn't mean that. Naming doesn't change the child. Her little heart, children, is as evil as all of our hearts are or were. Evil only. Imaginations are only evil continually from our youth of on. We're born with an evil heart. And if Ben and Elaine hasn't trained his child in the way it should go, and if the Lord God himself would not bless that training, she would end up to be a hater of God and a lover of them herself. An opposite of noble strength, an opposite of light. See, naming doesn't change the child. And the condition of her. Today, another naming ceremony will take place that has taken place with all of us, I assume. In a moment, God will name Audrey Lucille with his own triune name. As I may lay my hand on her three times, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. She will be baptized into the name, as the Greek word really means when we read baptizing in the name. It means into the name. God will write his name on this little girl. And she'll be formally united to the triune God. Sinclair Ferguson, in one of his books, writes this story of a young man he met from Asia, a Chinese man. His name was Timothy. Timothy means honored by God. But obviously his family name was different. It was a Chinese family name. And so Sinclair Ferguson asked him, Timothy, what is your real name? Timothy. No, I mean your real name. Timothy. No, I don't mean that. I understand that. But I mean the name that your parents gave to you when you were born. And he gave his Chinese name, whatever that was. And so Sinclair Ferguson said to him, see, well, that's your real name. That's the name your parents gave to you. And of course, you just chose the name Timothy because that sounds beautiful and that's familiar. And then the young man looked at Sinclair Ferguson and he says, no, Timothy is my real name. That's the name I was given at baptism. And this young man understood more about baptism than most of us do. Children, you are named with the name of God. And when this morning Audrey Lucille will be baptized, she receives this name, Jehovah. That's how God described all Israel. You notice the chapter we read twice, this phrase, in verse 1 and verse 7. He says, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And again in verse 7, even every one that is called by my name. God looked at Israel and he says, you are called by my name, you belong to me. You are mine, and I have given you my name. Israel remembered that. Later in chapter 63, when they are crying to God in their prayer out of their Babylonian pit, they appeal to God just simply this way, Lord, we are called by thy name. They understood it. They don't live like it. They didn't act it like it. But when finally they hit rock bottom, they have one last pleading ground. Lord, we are called by thy name. Being named with the name Jehovah, children and congregation, doesn't change you inwardly. This morning, baptism is not regeneration. Baptism is not the washing away of original sin, as some churches teach. Baptism is not saving Audrey spiritually. There were millions of people in the world today. There were thousands and thousands in Israel that received the token of the covenant, that were named with Jehovah's name, who were lost, who went lost. They have tasted the water from the rock. They have eaten the manna. They had the privileges of the church. They had the privilege of the pillar of light. They had God's commitment. They have God saying, I am the Lord your God. I will be there for you. I will go with you to the water. I will go with you to the fire. I will care for you. And they've been lost. Why? Because they rejected their adoptive parents. They did. They rebelled and kicked against Jehovah. And that they died in the wilderness was because they didn't care for their adoptive parent, Jehovah. And that's, of course, to us today as serious of a warning as it was to them. Congregation, before we look at Isaiah 43 this morning, particularly the first verse, let's for a moment think real well about what Old Testament versus New Testament is. There is a sentiment in the world called dispensationalism, where people say, oh, we've moved from the Old to the New Testament. The Old Testament, well, that's informational. But there's really no obligation. There's really nothing in the Old Testament that applies to us anymore. We're a New Testament church age. That is so wrong to think that way. And of course, a lot of new Christians do that today, and they discard the Ten Commandments because that's Old Testament. They also discard the beautiful covenantal line of the Old to the New. Yeah, I am totally convinced that what God says to Israel then, He says to us, New Testament church, today. We're in the exact same position as they are. God speaks to the New Testament church as His people, as He did to Israel. And this morning He reminds us of that. When I call the name of Jehovah on this child, that's exactly what happened in the Old Testament. God called His name upon these people. You're my people. I am the Lord your God. When I read this morning the Ten Commandments to you from the Deuteronomy, did you notice that 9 times He says that? I am the Lord your God, and I'm jealous about that. I'm jealous about your loyalty. I'm jealous about your life. I'm jealous about you loving me and not going with another lover, another God. I'm jealous. That's what God still is today. So let's then look at verse 1 together this morning from Isaiah 43. Let's hear again what the Lord says. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And then in verse 7, even everyone that is called by my name. Notice, verse 43, I have called thee by thy name. And in verse 7, everyone that is called by my name. Thou art mine, he says. The theme this morning is briefly, owned by Jehovah. It speaks of an amazing grace to horrible sinners. Secondly, speaks of providing grace to poor sinners. This verse speaks of God's amazing grace to wretched children. And also speaks of His very providing grace to poor sinners. Isaiah 43 has the word fear not in it. What is it to be afraid of? God is addressing this chapter to the people of Israel as they are sitting in Babylon. Why are they in Babylon? Because they've kicked God. Repeatedly. And finally God had enough of that. He says, gone. Out of my sight. Out of my house. Out of my land. No more temple. No more Israel. Separate. Not divorce. God doesn't believe in divorce, but God believes in separation. He puts His people Israel for 70 years. In separation, can't live at home anymore. Why is that? Because they were horrible kids. Children, they were horrible children. So disobedient, so unthankful, so full of idolatry. God has been dealing with Israel in so much love. He's adopted Israel as His children. I want you to think about that for a moment. He's adopted them at great cost. Redeemed them out of Egypt when they were slaves there. Brought them by His mighty hand. And He says, look, I have given Egypt for thy ransom. You know what happened to Egypt. It was completely ruined by the plagues and by the firstborn dying. I have given Egypt to bring you out. I gave everything to adopt you as mine. And you are my children. You are my nation. You're my people. And what have those adopted children done? They already cheated on God on their honeymoon. While they're still at Mount Sinai, camped, after they've heard the law of God, and after Moses went on the mountain, and here they are dancing around a golden calf. These are our gods that brought us out of Egypt. Spiritual adultery on their honeymoon. And ever since that time, you trace the history of Israel, it is one story of betrayal and treason and letting him down and going after other lovers and rebelling and not appreciating and not thankful. And for centuries, God has been patiently living with Israel. Centuries, congregation. Patiently, lovingly, repeatedly forgiving them, starting afresh, only to catch them cheating again, going in adultery. They are really the worst covenant breakers in recorded history. And like I said, finally had enough of it. He put them away in Babylon. If you have your Bibles open, you go back to chapter 42. Let me just read to you what he said in verse 21. Verse 22, but this is a people robbed and spoiled. They're all of them snared in holes. They're hid in prison houses. Therefore, pray, none delivereth for a spoil, and none saith restore. That's their condition. And who among you will give ear to this, and who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil to Babylon? Who gave Israel to the robbers? I did, Lord said. He against whom we have sinned, for they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore he has poured upon them the fury of his anger and the strength of battle. He has set them on fire round about. Yet ye knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. And then all of a sudden comes 43. But. Notice that little word, but. But saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. God has spoken to them again in captivity. They don't deserve to see God's face again. They don't deserve to get back home again. They don't deserve to have anything of the Lord anymore. But listen to what he says to them. But now saith the Lord your God. I am your creator. That's true for every person in the world. God owns us as the creator. You're not your own. I'm not my own. I belong to my creator. He is the one who formed me. He gave me life. He gave me days on this earth. And then we go either back to him or forever away from him. And then that all depends on what you and I have done on this little stay on earth. Here in this Babylonian captivity where he's just put them away, look how amazing is God's grace. Fear not, O Jacob. I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. I own you. No, I haven't disowned you yet. I could easily disown you, but I don't. You are mine. You will be mine. Congregation, isn't that an amazing thing? That God still owns these people. Draw that line to yourself this morning. We're not any different than these Israelites. We can be so arrogant and so careless about God, so taking it for granted what he does, maybe even worse, rebellious outwardly or inwardly. Still, God hasn't disowned you. What a privilege to be born in a Christian church family. I cannot think of a greater privilege in my life that I was born of two parents who loved the Lord and nurtured my little being in that connect context and showed me that loving the Lord is worth everything, anything. What a privilege, friends, to be born in a Christian family where you taught the Scriptures and hear the gospel of hope. Where you're not taught you have to work hard to get to heaven by doing this and this and that, but where the God of grace stands before us and tells you, child, young man, young woman, come unto me. Turn away from all your religious efforts to try to be holy and better and to mend the problem that is between you and me. Come unto me. What a privilege. To have a God pursue you from the day you were born until the day you sit here. Tell us again and again, you are mine. I am the one who redeemed you, kept you out of the world, separated you, placed you in my covenant church. Thou art mine. Millions are left to drift on the sea of temptations in this world. But little Audrey and all other children. And as I can remember my privilege, we grow up in a context in which as much as possible we as parents are and as churches are to keep you away from all this what the world offers. Why? Because it's going to destroy you, lead you astray. This is a covenant bond. So therefore stop looking down or wistfully to others, how they live, congregation and children. Look at the world and don't look at them the way you often look. Oh, look what they have and look what they do and look what they may have and where they go. Look who is their shepherd. Look who they follow. Look what they live for. They don't have a shepherd like you do. They don't have a God that is pursuing them like you do. Yeah, they don't have any purpose in their life other than enjoy today, for tomorrow you might not be there. And then they are told the biggest lie, and then they all continue that good life hereafter. Oh, that's not what it is. You see that over in the Scriptures time and again. Let's pity these multitudes that are without a shepherd. And instead look at yourself and wonder, Lord, why am I named with thy name? Why hast thou written Jehovah on my forehead? Why am I separated and lifted out from all these multitudes and receive this care and this love and this devotion, this faithfulness? And look again at yourself and think, what a horrible child I am. Forgetting him days without number. Though he is pursuing me all day. Surrounding me with his saving hands. Protecting me. Providing every bread and every blessing. What a horrible child I am. That I so often kick against God when I transgress his holy law and ignore the things he tells me. Lord, why am I so privileged to be as an equally lost sheep and yet placed within the best pasture under the care of the best shepherd? To have the pillar of light in the Word of God to guide us. To have the ministry of the Word in teachings and parents and office bearers. But above all, to have thee commit thyself to me with all what thou art, I am Jehovah, your God. And all what I have is for you. Our fathers understood baptism a lot better than we do today. This child, Audrey, is heir of the kingdom of God. They write in the form a few moments. We'll read it. That's strong language. This little Audrey is going to be baptized because she belongs to the church of God. Visible church. And Ben and Audrey and you and I as parents are to duty bound to remind her of that. You don't belong to us, child. You belong to Jehovah. And to Him you are to pledge your allegiance and confession of life and heart. He exists for you, and are you existing for Him? And if then that doesn't end with a wholehearted devotion, then we will not join the song that we just sang together. When the Lord shall count the nations, sons and daughters, He shall see, born to endless life in Zion. And that joyful song shall be, blessed Zion, all our fountains are in thee. So not amazing grace, also providing grace is the second thought briefly. Notice what God says to these rebels in Babylon. Now, it's astounding, friends. In verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When you go to the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, that shall not be burning you. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I'll be with you. Basically what God is saying to these rebels out there, sitting in their separated state from Him. He says to Isaiah's message, I'm still for you. You're still mine. You still belong to me and I still belong to you. We're still married. Though I have put you outside. And now He sends His message to them. I will be totally still and always for you. Even though you are poor, I'm rich. Even though you have nothing to return to me, I have it all. Even though you cannot restore it, I can. Even though you are at rock bottom, guilty, with nothing to satisfy me, I have it all. He says in verse 3 and 4, I gave Egypt for thy ransom. Ethiopia and Seba may refer to the time of Jehoshaphat when they came up against the nation. Notice in verse 4, since I have been precious in my sight and honorable, I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. God is going to again deliver them. But let's draw that a little bit farther. Instead of Egypt, instead of men, God gave His Son, Jesus Christ, as a ransom for many. Hear the words of the Savior, I came not to be ministered unto, I came to minister and to give my life as a ransom for many. The ultimate way to deliver Israel is not to the Persians, not to Darius and Xerxes. It's through Jesus. The ultimate price. The ransom. And even though you're now scattered all over the place, Israel, in the north, south, west, you're all over the place, I will gather you, fear not. Even though you deserve to be left there, I will not forsake you. And there's three reasons that God will not forsake them. And that's the hope for a poor sinner. The first reason is, because I loved you. In verse 4, since I was precious in my sight, thou wast honorable, I have loved thee. We often misunderstand this love of God. It doesn't have anything to do with you and me. That He chose Israel out of Egypt as the nation that He adopted has nothing to do with Israel. It was a despicable people. They were stubborn, foolhardy people. They were the fewest of all people, God says. You're on the bottom of the pile. I loved you. Sovereign. Freely. without anything in you. My love is always one-sided. I loved you. Therefore, I chose you. Now, let's take an application of that. Why were you born in a Christian church? Because God loved you more than the ones who are not out there. That's because God loved you and He chose you to be born in this context while He leaves millions out in the heathendom darkness. That's special. And that love, friends, is still there, God says. Even though Babylon has been, Israel has been so evil. This love of God, my friends, in God steps over these feelings of anger and disgust and pain and jealousy about this Israel. And He says, even though you're down there in Babylon, I still will remember you. You're still mine. And I don't give up on you. Because my love is faithful love. And you know, that is hopeful message to us. Maybe you sit here also at the bottom of the pile. Maybe you also feel yourself so vile and so unfaithful and so backslidden. You say, oh Lord, how can I ever hope that there is with Thee still hope for me? And the love of God is your hope. A one-sided love of God. And the second answer, why God would still do this, is because He says, I have called thee by thy name. Everyone that is called by thy my name, for I have created him. There's something to that. You belong to me. My name is on you. That gives me liberty to appeal to God and says, Thou, Lord, hast called me by Thy name. Save me from where I brought myself. Even if you're on the end of the earth, far away from God, that name can never be cancelled. And the third reason, God says, I have done it because I will glorify myself. I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I made him. God does everything to his own glory. And in the end, every soul saved from their own destruction will bow before this great Jehovah and worship him in silent adoration and ask forever, what were thou mindful of me? And what was it that thou didst visit me with thy salvation? Let us wrap up this short meditation, friends. It is fatal to make the presumptuous overrating of being called by his name. There are too many who do that. Who think that, oh, as long as you're baptized and you go to church, you're okay. That is fatally presumptuous. You know that in your own family, child that is named with your name and maybe lives in your house doesn't mean he's a good child. He can be a rebellious child who's kicking you all along. So it is spiritually. So let's not overrate baptism. Let also not underrate this being in God's covenant family. I feel that there's a danger that is far more in our churches than the overrating. Baptism for most children means nothing. For most adults also doesn't mean nothing. But it means a lot to God. And therefore God says, I'm jealous about my name. You belong to me, and I've committed everything of me to you. God commits himself to provide everything for my heart and for my body in his Son, Jesus Christ. And if there's moments that I feel that is, I doubt that. If there's moments that you feel, oh Lord, how could thou have anything to do with a vile man, woman like me? Then remind yourself what he did this morning to Audrey and what he did to you. I've called you by my name. Why does the Lord do that this morning? It is a testimony that he brings as close as possible to us personally. That he, in his astounding grace and faithfulness, is there for you. And that he commits himself with all his love and all his power to give you all you need. Hear him speak to us. Open thy mouth, my people. Wide, and I will fill thine every need, the finest of the wheat, honey out of the rock, grace of Christ, grace of the Spirit. But my people would not. That's the most painful words to say as a parent. And we see our child go off in the world making stupid choices, destroying their lives in the way of sin, and to have to stare after them and saying, oh, they would not have what I give them. That's what God says about many of these Israelites, about many of the New Testament Christians, that he signed and sealed to them in baptism, I am for you. And when we come, friends, before our Maker and Redeemer, have despised our spiritual family name, then his name will be cleared with the question that he will ask, what else could I have done to you, my dear young friend? All blame and all shame will be on our head as an unthankful and a rebellious and unbelieving rebel. May God prevent that in any one of our lives. Dear congregation, for you and me, let's hear the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God, by which you are marked, in vain. For he will not hold him guiltless that despises the name by which he is owned. Amen. Let's sing together of Psalter 425. We'll go back and forth a little bit in the order of these verses. And we'll do now verse 4. Ye seed of Abraham descended, to whom the Lord his favors were extended. So just verse 4 of Psalter 425, verse 4, and we'll stand together. May I invite you to take out your Psalter. In the back of your Psalter on page 126 is a short explanation of the sacrament of Holy Baptism. And baptism is in the first place a sacrament to strengthen the faith of God's children among us in God's covenant mercies, His Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And though little Audrey does not know anything about this, is therefore not, first of all, speaking to the children. It's speaking to the believer who struggles this morning with his uncleanness and his unfaithfulness and his unbecomingness. And though God declares thousands of times in the Scriptures that He is a merciful God and committed Himself to sinners, in baptism He also visualizes it. The first part of the form sums up that message of the Gospel that is witnessed and pictured in holy baptism. So let's read that then. So on page 126, the principal or main parts of the doctrine, the teaching of holy baptism are these three. It begins at the bottom, that we, with our children, are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath. It means children under a curse, in original sin. Insomuch that we cannot enter the kingdom of God except we are born again. Radical renewal needs to take place in us. And this, the dipping in or the sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and to seek for our purification and salvation outside of ourselves. But where do I seek that then? Where do I go for this great need of purity and salvation when I see this horrible condition I am spiritually that prevents me from entering the kingdom of God? Well, then, baptism is here picturing what the gospel teaches us everywhere. To Jesus Christ you must go. And so baptism, in the second place, witnesses and seals unto us the washing away of sins through Jesus Christ. That's the sum. Jesus Christ reveals Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. For when we're baptized, or when we see baptism in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesses and seals unto us that He does make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for His children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we're baptized in the name of the Son seals unto us that He does wash us in His blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of His death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. Now, don't misunderstand this statement. This statement doesn't say that this child this morning will be washed from all her sins. No, the believer in Christ will be washed from all sins, and baptism pictures that. As water washes away sins, so the blood of Jesus does. The Son is your answer. Not baptism. The Son, His blood, pictured in baptism. Well, that gives me hope again. When I see this vile source of my defilement every day, when I soon may place this water on Audrey, God is telling you and me, look, as water washes a child, so my blood washes you. You, who you? You who come to me in faith, looking to the blood of Jesus and trusting on it. That's to you. Not the child here. Hopefully Audrey will come to this faith one day. An understanding of her own vileness and need for Christ. And then her own baptism on July 7 today may again encourage her to believe that this God of grace is willing to wash her also. Children, that's why you ought to know your baptism day, and if you keep forgetting it, you keep asking. Because I know you don't forget your birthday.
But you do forget your baptism day often. And this is a day in which we may indeed return to God. Now, not only is it pointing to the Father, not only pointing to the Son, in like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament, He will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the life elect in life eternal. What a gracious provision in the Holy Ghost ministry that is again pictured in baptism. His work to apply what there is in Christ and to renew. So this is a covenant of grace in a very short summary set before us, pictured in baptism. Now, children of God, of course, baptism is also admonishing us to something. Now, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts. Therefore are we by God, through baptism, admonished of and obliged unto a new obedience. Namely, we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We trust in Him. That we love Him with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our mind and with all our strength, totally devoted to Him. That we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if sometimes we through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is the seal, an undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. Now then, the second portion here is just briefly explaining why we baptize the infants. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are, without their knowledge, partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. Very rich statement. Brought near to God, grace in Christ. And that's supported as God speaketh unto Abram, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And that seed stretches forth from Abraham to the Jews, to the cross and beyond. For see, the Apostle Peter testifies with these words, on the day of Pentecost, after the cross, at the birth of the new church, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formally commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid His hands upon them, and blessed them. And since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of His covenant. Notice the strength of that statement. Thou art mine, God said in Isaiah 43. Heirs of the kingdom and of His covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to the years of discretion. Therefore, this whole ordinance of God may be administered to His glory and to our comfort and to the edification of His church. Let us call upon His holy name. So let us pray together. O Almighty and Eternal God, Thou who hast, according to Thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and the unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to Thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family. And thou hast drowned the absent Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified. We beseech thee, O God, that thou wilt be pleased of thy infinite mercy, graciously to look upon this child and all our children, and incorporate her by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, that she may be buried with him into his death, and that she may be raised with him in a newness of life, that she may daily follow him, joyfully bearing her cross, and cleaving to him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, and that she may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. Let us sing together while Elaine and the baby have an opportunity to come in. Let's go back to verse 425. And let's verse 1. Unto the Lord lift thankful voices. So verse 1 of 425. From your seat. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our children his covenant. And therefore it must be used for that end or purpose and not out of custom, as if it means nothing, and not out of a superstition, as we go far to the other side and make it what it is not. And that it may then be manifested that you are thus minded, you're to answer sincerely to these three questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, even to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified, separated unto Christ, in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. And secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and the New Testament and in the articles of the Christian faith which is here taught in this church to be the true and the perfect or complete doctrine of salvation. And thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see this child when come to the years of discretion, whereof you are the parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine or teaching, or help or cause her to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. Father Ben Stelzel, what is your answer? Yes. And Mother Elaine Stelzel?
Yes.
You said yes to God. to take care of Audrey in his name. It's a big yes. It's a big task. For whatever years he gives you her, between childhood and adulthood, he tells you, and you gave your yes, to instruct her in who she is. And that's not so pretty as she looks, we know. But also who she is in a different sense. Thou art mine. That naming ceremony this morning, Ben and Elaine, is very special. We lay our names of our children in his hand. We lay children that are named by his name. That's a pleading ground. Especially when children may be not always behaving well. Listen well. And there's a common time in their life they're going to make choices that you say, child, why would you do that? It's going to harm you as well as dishonor God. And then to go back to the Lord and says, Lord, she is named with your name. And she doesn't regard that name. But will thou regard the name that's on her forehead? And then it's a real privilege that when we stand here together this morning and God says, Audrey, Lucille, thou art mine. And all what is mine, I commit to you. That's a special privilege, parents, and also a tremendous calling that I have tried to raise 9 children. I've still not learned how to do it well. But we have one great parent in heaven who's also willing to guide us daily when we ask him, help me, Lord, how to speak, how not to speak, how to shape, how to not misshape. That's a special privilege. Infants are to be baptized as the heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and we in parents duty bound to instruct our children herein. May God bless you richly to do that in the balance, not underrating, not overrating this special moment, but keeping it in that biblical frame of what I tried to briefly say this morning. I invite you to come in the front. Audrey, Lucille, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us sing together 425, the fifth verse. Jehovah's truth will stand forever, his covenant bonds he will not sever. A word of grace which he commands, 2,000 generations stands. The covenant made in days of old with Abraham, he does uphold.
Let us close our service with thanksgiving. Almighty God, merciful Father, we thank Thee and we praise Thee. Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. And we beseech Thee through the same Son of Thy love that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern Audrey and all other baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they all may be piously and religiously educated, may increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteous living under our only teacher, King and High Priest Jesus Christ, and that they may manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion to the end, that she and they all may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one, only true God. Amen. Our closing psalter is again 425. Let's do now verse 3 and 6. While there is still a collection for the building fund, seek ye Jehovah and His power. Children, hear that? Seek ye His presence every hour. His works so marvelous, so great, remember still and meditate upon the wonders of His hands. And let's think about the wonder of that hand this morning that God laid on you. And as Reverend Verena used to say, and He swore an oath about Himself to you, that He will be forever your God. Let's sing thoughtfully verse 3 and 6 of 425.
Receive now the blessing of God and let us go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.